In ministry, we're going to encounter a lot of potential situations where it is important that we understand the laws and how they pertain to churches and their representatives. Particularly, as our communities shift toward the acceptance of alternative lifestyles, we may find ourselves in very unique situations. In this section of the course, we're going to take a look at some of these potential scenarios. It's important to recognize that individual laws will vary from state to state. As well, some laws have changed or are in the process of changing. What was acceptable last year may not be acceptable this year or next. I am not a lawyer, and I'm not going to be interpreting law in this course. You should be speaking with your pastor about these concerns, and in some cases, you may be able to look up the laws for your state on the issue for yourself. There are great websites that can help you access some of the answers you may be looking for. One is Church Law and Tax, and I've included it in the bonus section of the Logistics and Legalities section of this course. Another good resource is the book Management Essentials for Christian Ministries. This book has a chapter entitled Legal and Ethical Considerations in Ministry that might be beneficial as well. In the previous segment, we focused on women who are in crisis. These women may come to us for counseling, and as they reveal the details of their situation, they may share some startling information with us. In some cases, it is personal information that may make us uncomfortable, but in other cases, it may be information that is against the law, yet we're not required to report the incident. But we also need to be prepared for those incidences where the women share information that we are required by law to report. When you are in ministry leadership, you may be considered a mandatory reporter. There are some things that even clergy confidentiality will not cover, and these rules will vary from state to state or from country to country. In most states, child abuse or neglect is a circumstance that requires mandatory reporting, and it won't matter if the woman is confessing to doing it herself or if she's sharing that a spouse or a friend or a family member is responsible. There are some states that define mandatory reporting to abuse, but not neglect. It's subjective enough that they consider that discretionary. Since these laws differ from state to state, you will need to verify the policy within your state. If you're one of the few states that does not consider clergy as mandatory reporters, you still have the option to report it and would be protected under the law for breaking that confidentiality. In all but three states, there are mandatory reporting laws in regards to domestic violence for health care providers. However, the details of those laws can vary drastically from state to state, including who is considered a mandatory reporter and who isn't. Many states have laws for reporting the abuse of the elderly. There are also mandatory reporting laws if someone confesses to their intent to commit a crime or specific crimes. In addition, the definition of clergy confidentiality privilege can vary from state to state. Known primarily as the clergy penitent privilege, the purpose is to protect the contents of communications between a member of the clergy of any religious faith, whether it's a minister, priest, or rabbi, and the person that is confessing to them. Sometimes it's including an individual who is basically representing that religious organization. It stems from the principle of the confessional privilege. Now, in some states, you must be an ordained clergy member for this confidentiality privilege to apply. In other states, those who are not ordained but are officially representing the church are covered, like a mentor or counselor, ministry leaders, elders, and deacons. In the states where this is fully recognized, the clergy members cannot testify against a person that they have counseled, similar to the same protections offered to married couples. This protection has led many churches to ordain women in leadership roles so that they are afforded that same protection, which is something worth considering when churches have a high percentage of women who are in leadership and teaching roles. These varying laws and details make it extraordinarily important that you are informed of the mandatory reporting laws in your state or country. Something else that we now need to consider are the discrimination laws and how they apply to the church and its events. So here are some scenarios to consider. Two lesbians attend your church. The women's ministry is having a weekend-long retreat. The church bylaws recognize homosexuality as a sin. So how are you going to handle it if the couple want to reserve a private room for themselves at the retreat? The women are attending a week-long retreat at a camp where there are communal bathrooms. The person who is born a man who has gone through gender reassignment surgery to become a woman would like to attend the women's retreat. Is this permissible? Does your answer change if you're the only one who knows this information? If you deny them the ability to attend, will the church face a discrimination lawsuit? What if it was a women's Bible study, ladies' brunch, or Mother's Day tea? Many church leaders would like to think that these situations wouldn't happen, that the person wouldn't even attempt to attend the event. They would like to think that they can explain it to the couple or the transgender person in the whole love the sinner, hate the sin kind of a way, and that everything's going to work out fine. In fact, some may even think that these people will never walk into the doors of their church in the first place. Yet we know from the news that it's quite the opposite. There are some people who live alternative lifestyles, alternative from what the scriptures establish, and they do attend church. In some cases, churches which they understand are not supportive of their lifestyle. There are people who are purposely challenging religious business owners, organizations, and churches in order to break down what they see as discrimination and not religious freedom. With recent developments in the news, we're watching Christian churches respond to new laws and entering into a period of uncertainty until we can fully grasp what these new laws mean. For these particular instances, we have to be ever vigilant in keeping updated on the details and implementation of these laws in our own cities, states, and countries. We may find ourselves in very unique situations of having to choose between some of our events and protecting the church. Is a retreat or a brunch worth a potential lawsuit to the church? As society begins to accept alternative lifestyles as part of the status quo, this will become a real concern. Yes, there will be churches who will follow along with the law, performing same-sex marriages and eventually even recognizing transgenders based on their new identity. There will be churches who will try not to make waves by only addressing it when the situation arises. Then we will also see churches that are going to vocally stand against these laws in very public and open defiance. The decision that each of these churches make will impact all of the other churches. We must know the laws pertaining to discrimination. Understand how they pertain to us as ministries. Be aware of the consequences of the decisions that we make. It is an uncertain time as new laws are put on the books and we struggle to define them in terms of the here and now. It's also an uncertain time because the laws of today are still being shaped and redefined. Just as we get to a point where we think we understand the law and how it works, and how to work within it, it could change. New questions are going to arise as unique circumstances present themselves to the church, and we should be very mindful, ever watchful, and ever faithful during this time. Other legal considerations for the ministry that date back a bit further include the ordination of women. When is this going to become more than a denominational issue? Is it discrimination not to hire a female pastor? Is it protected by religious freedom? Sexual assault and harassment claims. When with a member of the opposite sex, we kind of discussed this earlier in the course. We're going to recap this. Keep your office door open. Have someone else sit in the meeting with you. Take separate cars. Not a hint or even an implication of impropriety can happen.